Well, I want to just share some things with you today. If you're a guest today, I pray you'll hook up with us and catch on where I am and what I want to share today. I want to share a word with you today to build kind of a case from the Word of God for what we're about to do in the next few months. How many of you know what I'm about to do in the next few months? Raise your hand. Okay, just checking. Most of you know. But I'm going to share it again because I feel like I need to. But let me just say a few things because we're going to be heavily involved in communion over the next few months. And communion is a household thing as much as it is a church thing. I really believe God is preparing the body for what's coming on the earth. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know the date, don't know the hour, don't even know the year, but I know something's happening. If you have any discernment of the Spirit, you know something's happening. Something's happening. And so what I really felt like the Lord spoke to me was to extend the church into the home to make that divine supernatural connection between the church and the home. And we're going to do this through communion. And I'm going to be talking a lot about over the next few months about Passover. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Because when I begin to look at this and realize our model for this is the Passover in Exodus. That's when this began. Then it began to really open up my heart and open up my mind to what the Lord really wants and really has for us, because the Lord could have easily told the children of Israel, now everybody come together and eat a lamb and drink the blood and then take it back to your house. But he didn't say that. He said, let every man take a lamb for his own house. And take the blood for his own house. And so that really was kind of the beginning of the Lord dealing with me. Because when I started studying this, Passover is an invitation, really, not just for the enemy to pass over, the death angel to pass over, but it is also an invitation, excuse me, for the presence of God. It's an invitation. I'm going to be talking about this, you know, in weeks to come and, excuse me, in a little bit deeper way. But let me just tell you this. You hear me up here coughing. Since I made this decision, I've had more attacks against me than I have in I don't know how long. You know what that tells me? Tells me I'm on the right track. Amen. I don't judge it. Excuse me. I don't judge it by what the devil's doing. I judge it because the devil doesn't want me to do it. Amen. So we're going to spread, we're calling this a common communion, and we're going to spread this to the whole city. And I want, the reason I want to say that is because I want to show you this. If you haven't already seen it, I want you to look at this behind me. You see that? You see all those dots? That's you. Do you see where everybody comes from in our city? Everywhere. Everywhere. So if we take communion to you, listen to me, if we take communion to you, then we're taking it to your community. And part of what I'm going to do when I come to your house is we're going to pray over your area, your community. But you can see where people come from. They moved it to the big one, I guess. But we have people, show me the other one. Isn't there a bigger one? There it is. Do you see how far south, north, east, and west people are? It's amazing. Where everybody is. Okay, you can take that down. the Lord spoke to me that we are a common community and that we can have an area-wide influence with the communion table. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yeah, I don't know whether you care about your neighbors or not, but you should. Yeah, amen. And so I know I've already said this once, but you know, to be honest with you, half the church is not here every Sunday. Yeah. So I'm coming to your house. And I'm coming as your pastor to share communion with you and your household. Listen to me. This is a household thing. This is not a, well, we'll gather half the church in one house and have communion. I want to come to your house. So, well, I just can't have you in my house, and I understand that. But listen, if that's the case, then you can call the office and we'll work something out. But I'm going to come and share communion with you. I believe it can be a powerful, powerful thing. And I'm looking forward to it. I start day after tomorrow. Yeah. And you say, how long is it going to last? Well, we're already booked through the middle of March. Now, let me mention that because there's something you need to understand that. I was supposed to be speaking at a conference and be at a conference in January, in the middle of January, and I realized I can't do that. I've got to be here. So there are some dates in January that have opened up because of that. So if you haven't already signed up, you can. Listen, here's the scripture that the Lord gave me. Acts 20:20, Paul said this. He said, I have kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. If the Apostle Paul can go house to house, looks like your pastor ought to be able to go house to house. Amen? And I want to tell you, I'm expecting God to do some things. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing some of that with you about what I see from the Word of God. I'm trying to build an expectation to you from the Word of God, not a promise from me, but what does God's Word say? And if you will understand, it's what God says. What does His Word say? Then I believe God can do something in your life. It can release your faith for what Jesus has already done. Now, understand, and I'm going to teach about this several different ways over the next few weeks, so you're going to hear this, because even I, in a sense, had a misconception about communion. My conception was there was Passover that was the Jewish celebration because of what God did delivering them from Egypt. And then God said, okay, that's over with. Now we're going to have communion. And the communion is going to be the body and the blood of Jesus. Excuse me, but that's not true. In fact, I'm going to show you this morning just quickly from the Word of God so you can understand this. And I think you're going to understand where I'm going to end up today. But the Passover is the foundation of what we're doing because it is a household thing. God chose to give the children of Israel instructions for their deliverance by household. Y'all hearing me? Excuse me, I'm sorry about the coughing, but none of y'all ever cough, do you? Yeah. Thank you, Paul. One person in here knows exactly how I feel. He's been there, done that. So there is a divine connection between the Passover and what we call communion today. In fact, really, we still are having Passover in a sense. We're just having it in a different way. So just stick with me. Okay, and let me just show you this, because in Exodus chapter 12, where the Lord's talking about Passover, he said, "This day shall be to you as a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Keep it as an ordinance forever." An everlasting ordinance. Keep it forever as an everlasting ordinance. So what we're talking about here comes from the Passover. And if you'll understand that, then you'll understand the amazing deliverance that God releases because of Passover, which is our communion. So that when you take it, Jesus said, as a memorial, you can take it and receive what Jesus did for you. Amen. So, Colossians chapter 2 says it this way. I'm sorry. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. I know you want to give me a cough drop, but I got one in my mouth. So listen to this. This will pass, so hang with me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival, or that word there, festival, actually means a feast day, which Passover is, or a new moon or Sabbath. Now listen to what it says, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is Christ. See, that's the whole purpose of understanding Passover. It was a shadow, not the real, the shadow of things to come, but the real substance of it is Jesus. The real substance of it is Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus took away the first covenant to establish the second. How much better is the communion that we receive, the table of the blood and the body of the Son of God that we receive, than the Passover? So it was a shadow. It was a figure. It was looked like it, but Jesus is the substance. I'm not trying to go back to the Old Testament. I'm trying to get you to see, excuse me, that what God did in the Passover was a sign to us of what he'll do for us and more. Paul called it the cup of blessing. It's a blessing. Because, you know, the Bible says, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Jesus is what? Our Passover. He's our Passover. What does that mean? It means that what God did through the children of Israel, Jesus did for us on the cross and more. So when we hold that body and that blood, we're getting the real thing. We're not getting a shadow. We're not getting something that is good. I mean, look, I don't know whether you know it or not, but delivering 1 million people out of a country with provision for them, with healing for them, supernatural signs and wonders with them, is nothing compared to what Jesus has for us. It was just a shadow. The substance is Jesus. So I really believe, excuse me, that God can do some amazing, awesome things in your house, for your household. Am I expecting angels to sing and the glory of God to fill the house? No. I'm expecting your faith to receive whatever you need. I'm not responsible for your faith. I can show you how to live in joy, but Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. I'm not responsible for your faith. So all I can do is give you what God says, and then you grab hold of it. Amen? It's some, it, there's something else you need to see out of this, okay? And I mentioned it already, but Passover is a continuing feast. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. And he's talking about Passover. Listen to what he said. Let us keep the feast. Did you hear that? The feast, he's talking about the feast of Passover. Let us keep the feast. But see, we don't do it the old way with unleavened bread. We do it a new way. Not an old way of malice and wickedness. We do it with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We do it by the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and not by carnal natural means. Y'all still here? It's not just keeping the feast. It is actually recognizing what Jesus did for us through the feast. Everybody still with me? See, let me read you another scripture to help you with this. Verse 6 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So listen, when we come into your home, and I come in there and we receive communion, it's not about something natural. It's by the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Holy Spirit want to do in your life? That's what this is all about. Well, I can get that in church. Well, good. But I'm coming to your house. You say, well, I don't want you in my house. Well, I won't come then. I'll just do what Jesus told the apostles. Just dust your feet off and move on. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay? So here's what I want you to hear today, okay? It's not going to take long, but I want you to hear this. When God set the Passover into motion, he gave instructions that we can use to prepare ourselves for what God wants to do. Y'all still with me? Okay. One of the amazing things about this is when he was preparing them, the first thing the Lord said in Exodus chapter 12, listen to this, verse 1, he said, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the first month of the year to you. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. You got it? This shall be your beginning, the first month. First month of the year. Does anybody know what happens in January? It's what? Now listen. I do believe that if you hooked up with the Hebrew calendar, there are still blessings attached to the Passover on God's year. But we're going to use this as a shadow of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So the first thing the Lord said was, let's start off fresh. When you kill that lamb, you roast that lamb, and when you take that blood and you put it on your doorpost, you count it as a beginning. Count it as a beginning. You say, well, Pastor, I'm older. I don't need to start over again. Well, maybe you do spiritually. Maybe there are some things in your life you need to say, you know what? I need this new in my life. And so there were instructions that the Lord gave concerning what they were going to do. Remember, it's a shadow. It's a figure. It's a type of Christ that they're talking about here. But if you go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul, from verse 1 to verse 10, listed a whole list of things that the children of Israel did. Most of them were wrong, but he said, but I'm giving you this for your instructions. Read verse 11. Look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now listen, all these things happened to the children of Israel as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the age comes. That word admonition there is the word instruction. Instruction. So we can go back, and there are things that God prepared them for communion. And by the way, we're receiving communion tonight, so you can get prepared for that tonight. That we need to do in our lives to get ready for the Passover, for the communion, for what God wants to do in this new year. And if you listen to me tonight, what the Lord showed me, you're going to need everything you got this next year, spiritually. You're going to have it. So what I want to do is I want to show you some of these that will help you prepare for what God's going to do. So listen to what I'm saying, okay? Because you're going to hear this again through the coming weeks. I'm trying to prepare you for something. And it's not just me coming to your house. You've got to get prepared. Listen to me. I know it sounds sobering, but we have to be ready for the future more than we ever have. I look back on seasons of the church when there was, I actually want to call it frivolity. You know, we kind of were happy and everything's great, but I'm going to tell you something. Things are about to get very serious. And if you're a Christian, you're going to have to be sober-minded and serious about what God is going to do. So God did something. He said, I am going to deliver you out of Egypt. Now, how many of you know Egypt is a type of the world? I'm going to deliver you out, but here are some things that you need to understand and you need to do. Now, we've already mentioned Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, but I want to read it again. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. In other words, God is going to do something new in a new year. He literally changed the way their calendar worked so they would be able to pinpoint a time in space. This is when it starts. And for the Jewish calendar, it's still the same. This is where it starts. This is where it starts. So what you have to do is understand that you need to be prepared for a new beginning. And I want to just tell you this. Listen. Your new beginning, your deliverance, your redemption, whatever you need that you don't have that you want God to do in your life has to have a starting point in the realm of the spirit. It's not a carnal thing. It's a spiritual thing. God said, I will do new things. And you'll know it. So when you understand this, don't over the next few months, don't say, well, I'm receiving this communion and we'll see what happens. You need to make up your mind in the spirit. Things are going to be different. Say, well, I'm not going to be able to get it done. You know, well, we're having communion tonight. Start there. Start there. God wants to do new things. Look at your life. I mean, I don't know whether you do that or not, but I always do that in January. You know, in first of the year, you think about last year, what you want to do, and think about your life, the reality of your life, and is it pleasing God? Are you where God wants you? Are there things that you can do in your life that are more focused? Have a new beginning. in your life? Well, I just don't see any way. Well, the good news is God knows how to make a way. You know, he did part the Red Sea for their deliverance. Well, it just seemed like the same old, same old. Listen, it doesn't have to be. God can do something new in your life. You know, sometimes it's easy to seem like you want to just kind of ride life out. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I'm retired now. From what? Life? Here's the thing that concerns me about retirement. I see it now. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. If you're retired, I'm not talking necessarily about you, but I've watched people and they retire so they can live in the flesh. They can go to Florida and live and find a place where they can, don't get upset with me. Because it happens, millions of people do this. Go play golf and or go do this or go do that and just live in the flesh. That's not what God has for our lives. Not if you're a child of God, that's not what God has. So maybe you need a new beginning. Maybe you need to refocus. Maybe you need to look back at what God used to do in your life and say, God, I don't have that anymore. Well, he wants to do more. Doesn't matter where you are in your life. So you need to understand and realize that there are new beginnings out there for you, and get prepared for it. Get ready for it, that God can do something. Now, the second thing that the Lord told them was they had to be obedient to the sacrifice. Now, what do you mean by that? Let me explain it to you, okay? God will tell you what he wants you to do if you'll listen. He told the children of Israel exactly how to prepare the meal, told them how to eat it, told them how to dispose of what they had left over, if there was any left over, gave them exact instructions. He said, put the blood on the lintel, not the threshold, and on the side post. You know why? Because he didn't want people trampling on that blood. You might want to go read Hebrews about that, because the Bible talks about people trampling on the blood of Jesus. He told them exactly what to do. Sometimes we just kind of want to do something, but we just want to kind of do it our own way and when we want and how we want. And instead of being obedient to the sacrifice, be obedient to what God says and how God wants to do. He'll tell you what to do. And if you'll obey it, your actions will change things. It's interesting to me that the Lord told them to roast that lamb or that goat, because the Egyptians ate raw meat to worship. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, it has a lot to do with you, because you don't need to do things the way the world does. Okay, I'm going to go on, but amen. You have to be careful about that. But the point is, you have to be obedient to the sacrifice. Everybody still here? I mean, and be ready for what God wants, and listen to what the Spirit of God says and obey what the Spirit of God says. Amen? All right, there's something else here that I want to show you. You have to be prepared for change. You don't have to, listen, I'm amazed at how many people wait for change without doing anything different. Well, I'm waiting. Well, what are you doing different? Nothing. And you're waiting for change. Well, yeah, but you're not doing anything different. Well, no. Well, let me show you what the Lord did, okay? And I'll show you this. When the Lord prepared the children of Israel for the Passover, he said, you shall eat with a belt on your waist. your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. In other words, you better be ready. You need to be prepared for change. I have to tell you, I've been through a number of moves of God since I've been saved. You know, I got saved at the end of the charismatic movement and the beginning of the Word of Faith movement back in the early 70s. And I've seen different things over the years. And I've watched, and I'm going to use pastors as examples because I am one. I've watched pastors who couldn't change. They couldn't change. They were not prepared for change. So when change came, because listen, change comes whether you like it or not. Okay? So when change comes, they actually end up fighting against what God's doing. When what we call today the Word of Faith, but it's just really the Word of God, and really a tremendous teaching revival back in the 70s and the 80s is kind of how our church really got started. In the beginning, there were whole denominations that kicked out hundreds of preachers from the denomination because they dared just preach the Word. Does that sound foolish to you? But I want to tell you something. Don't be somebody like that. It's critical. Well, God's going to do something. Well, get prepared for it. Then when it comes, you'll know it. You'll be a part of it. Instead of saying, well, I just don't know whether that's the Lord or not. I don't know whether God's going to do anything or not. Don't sit around living the same old way. Somewhere you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. I had a lady in our church many years ago, and I've told this story before, but I hate to tell you this as a pastor, but I hated to see her come up the aisle at the end of the service. Because I knew when she came up to me, it was not going to be good. I don't know how she found our church or where she found our church, but she was disheveled. She'd have food on her clothes. And that's not the point. The point was, it was everything out of her mouth. Well, I'm just going to die. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, just over and over. And I'd give her the word. I'd pray over, look up next Sunday. Here she came. Just for months and months and months, maybe even a year, she would do that almost every service. She was a school teacher who'd lost her job, and I don't know why, or don't remember the circumstances, but it was like that was going to be her life. About 6 months after that, maybe even another year later, I'm standing up at the front here talking to people, and I looked up and I thought it was her, but I couldn't tell because she was dressed really nice. Had her hair fixed, had a smile on her face. She walked, you remember me? Oh yeah, sure, I remember you. And I said, what happened to you? You look great. And she said, you know what? I just got tired of living like that. I just made up my mind, I'm not gonna live that way anymore. I think sometimes that's what we gotta do. You're not happy with your life. Listen, God can change it. He said, be prepared for change. Don't sit around living the same old way. Make plans for change. Let me just tell you this. If you're running with people that aren't saved, you need to make some changes. They're not going to help you. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that evil companions is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. Well, but they're my friend. No, they're not your friend. They may have been with you a long time because you tolerate them, or maybe they tolerate you. But when you're a child of God, you need to be careful about that. Be prepared for change. God told them, listen, you put your clothes on, you get ready, something's different. Now, how can you do that? Well, number one, you can be prepared just by praying, just by saying, Lord, I don't know what's coming, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to be ready. You think I, you know, as a pastor, you think I just kind of, you know, twiddle my thumbs and wait for the Lord to do something, saying, jump on board? No, I'm praying. I want to be ready. You know, it's like some of those rides at theme parks, you know, they don't stop. You have to get on them while they're going. I want to be ready to get on. So you have to be prepared for what God is doing. Build in yourself a change image. Build in yourself a change image. Don't just say, well, this is me. This is who I am. This is how I am. You know, you can read the Bible and you can change a lot just reading the Bible, because the Bible tell you don't do that anymore. And you're saying, well, I do that and I'm still going to do it, you know, or whatever it might be. Get ready for something different. That's what he was telling. Things are about to change. They didn't know. Listen, the children of Israel had no idea. Listen to what I'm saying. No idea what they were in store for. But it's interesting. They were ready. You know why they were ready? Because they were beat to a pulp. You feel beat to a pulp? Well, good news. You can get out of it. That's why. I mean, nobody stayed in Egypt. Far as we know. They all left. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Amen. All right, let me give you another one, all right? In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, Moses said to him, the blood shall be a sign for you on the house and where you are, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the Egyptians. Now listen to me. That death angel was a sign. If you are really sincerely going to take communion with an expectation, listen to me. Expect the supernatural in your life. You know, what the church has gotten used to is seeing the supernatural from the pulpit or from ministry at the front here where people. And thank God for that and the gifts of the Spirit. You ought to expect the supernatural in your own life. Where you are right now in your life. God said, expect the supernatural. Get ready for the supernatural. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's a great way to read. Go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say, Lord, I want what Jesus did. You mean walk on water? Well, I tried it. I couldn't do it. I did. When I first got saved, I thought I could do anything. I stepped over off in the swimming pool. I just went right to the bottom. But you know what? It didn't deter me from expecting the supernatural in my life. And to this day, I still expect the supernatural in my life. I'm not bragging on me. I mean, we ought to do that. But when you take that communion, you're taking the blessing. Listen to me. You're taking the blessing of the blood and the body of Christ. There is so much supernatural wrapped up in that. It would take years just to unravel all of it. I wish I could. I'm just going to tell you this real quick. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. I think that's the 17th or whatever that next Sunday is. Yeah, you can figure it. 14th, whatever that next Sunday is. Not next Sunday. 14th. Christopher Ollum is going to be with us. And I want you to listen to me. I preached in a conference with him back in October, and he preached a message on the blood. that I've asked him to preach that will tell you what I'm talking about. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit just, I'm praying he doesn't. You got to hear that message. Because if he doesn't preach it, I'm going to preach it. About the blood and about what that blood did and can do in your life. So you can expect the supernatural. When we receive communion together, listen to me. We hold those elements, the blessing of the blood and the body. You need to expect the supernatural. Well, give me an example. No. You need to know for yourself. This is not the pastor just visiting your home. You know, we in the past used to have a visitation program where we would go and visit people and pray for them, and that's great. It's wonderful, but this is something different. This is something different. All right, here's something else let me add a little bit to this before I go on. I feel like I need to do about expecting supernatural signs. Doesn't mean that that's going to happen when I'm there. Okay, that's not the point, or when you receive communion. But what it means is that God will confirm his word about communion to you going forward. So it may not happen that moment, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because God will confirm with what? Signs and wonders. He said he would. All right, now, the next thing I want you to listen to. Now, I know today I'm preaching to the choir, but you need to hear this. The Lord spoke to the children of Israel about this communion, about this Passover. He said the first day, there in Exodus chapter 12, verse 16, he said, on the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation. Did you get that? In other words, look, we're gonna do this house to house, but then I want you to come together, all of you, everybody. They called it a holy convocation. Do you realize, and I know you do because you're here today, but a holy convocation is a sanctified time or times called out by God. And it is not a personal thing, it's a group thing. I can't tell you how powerful coming to church is going to be in the future. We today take it as a luxury. Well, let's see, I'm going to go to church this week, but I'm going to be busy next week. Listen, there may be a time where you ain't got anything left but church. So you need to listen to what I'm saying. You need to put spiritual things first. You can read that whole thing there. It talks about the ordinance of the unleavened bread, and we can transfer that over to the New Testament. But you've got to put spiritual things first. They can't be the last on your list. Well, let's see now. We got this going on. We got this going on. We got this going on. Then we can go to church. You better be careful about that. Well, God loves me, it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters about your life. It matters about your future. You have to make up your mind that you're going to have to be in that place. Remember what Paul said? He said, I preach to you, not only did I preach to you house to house, but I preach to you publicly. And it's so critical that you do that you understand that. Here's something else that you're going to have to be prepared with. You ready? You're going to have to make up your mind. Exodus chapter 12, verse 27, It says that that you shall say it is the Passover of the Lord, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. You're going to have to make up your mind you're going to be a worshiper. Well, that's just not my personality. No, it has nothing to do with personality. I've told you this story before many times, but I was not a worshiper. For many years, I was not a worshiper. I'd sing the songs, and I liked the songs, but I was not a worshiper. Until one day, God supernaturally spoke to me about worship and made me realize who I was. And I'll just tell you briefly, I was sitting about right here. And at that time, I think we actually had the choir was still here and we were worshiping. And I'm looking at my watch, mad at my wife because she dare sing one more song. That's what the Lord showed me. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. But out of that, there was an explosion of revelation to me personally about worshiping God. Not just here, but here. Not just singing the songs, but worshiping God. Doesn't mean you can be a good singer. If you don't believe it, you should hear me sing. You know, it has nothing to do with singing. It has to do with worship. God said he's looking for worshipers and he won't do without them. I got two more real quick for you, just so you can understand. Okay, listen. Now we're talking about being prepared. Okay, listen to this. You have to be ready to receive from the Lord. The Lord told the children, and I'm not promoting this, so don't misunderstand me, but you can understand from this what I'm about to say. The Lord told the children of Israel, go to your masters and ask them to borrow gold and silver and other things. Now stop and think about that a minute, okay? Now listen, to this. They are servants, they are slaves. In fact, if you read it, or go read the book I wrote about it, they're under taskmasters. It's a brutal society. They're serving. And the Lord tells them one of the craziest things you could ever imagine. Go ask your master, today's would be, for money. And don't ask for a little. Is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard? And you know what? Every one of them found favor. And they gave them what they asked for. Do you know, I believe, that if you prepare yourself properly and you have a desire before God, that there will be a supernatural favor in your life, that things that you thought in a million years would never happen would happen. How could it happen? I can't even believe it. I've already experienced that in my life several times, and I got to tell you, it's a rush. When you have that kind of supernatural favor and, oh my Lord, what God can do, it's just amazing. But you've got to be ready to receive. Well, you know, the Lord wouldn't do that for me. Oh yeah, he would. Sure he would. Absolutely he will. Are you listening to me? Absolutely he will. But you've got to be prepared. Last thing. If you will get ready for what God wants for your life, now hear me here, you have to know the Lord will go before you and make a way. He'll go before. Do you understand that the children of Israel were going somewhere they'd never been? Not only were they going somewhere they ever been, they had an enemy chasing behind them, trying to destroy them. And they, you know this, they stood at the Red Sea. They couldn't pass over. But the Bible says something in Exodus chapter 13. Listen to me, verse 21. The Lord went before them. By day a pillar of cloud, and by night a pillar of fire. The Lord, listen to me, went before them. I believe that if you'll get yourself ready for this new year, that there will be things that will come up, the Lord will go before you, and there'll be things that happen, and you think, I never saw that. That door just opened. It just opened. I didn't see it. I didn't realize it. It just opened. God will go before you. You say, you mean to tell me that all of that has to do with communion? Yes, it does. When you're taking it the right way, and I believe most people do, you're going to see God do something. You might not even wait till I come to your house. Tonight, we're going to receive communion. You might have some things tonight. Hey, I'm ready. I would encourage you, we put this online, go back and listen to this again. And let the Lord speak to you about where you are, what you need. Let him tell you. I found out a long time ago, it's better for the Lord to tell me what I need for me to tell him what I need. The Lord knows you have need of those things. Sometimes it's easier just to listen than to ask. And then you can ask. But I believe we're in a sensitive time right now. We're not in a game playing time. I'll just throw this out to you. I know this is kind of a terrible way to leave it today. But, you know, we talk about where it talks about, you know, this is a cup of blessing. You might want to read the next few verses, because Paul also said you can't drink a cup of blessing and drink the cup of demons at the same time. You could go ahead and go, ooh. Yeah, you have to be careful about what you're doing with communion. But I'm going to tell you, listen, I know by the Holy Spirit, and I know from the Word of God, I've got two witnesses right there. I know that God wants to do something in your life greater than what you have now, that you're not set for life in your direction, your purpose, your plans, what God has for you. There's more. And when we receive communion together and we take that blood, the blessing of that blood and the blessing of that bread, I believe God's going to start working in your life in a supernatural way. Amen.